You're listening to Watch Muskegon Radio with Ann Misch, City Clerk for the City of Muskegon. And today I have with us Dave Alexander from Downtown Muskegon Now.
Hi, Ann. How are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
Outstanding.
Well, you know, before we get in to the show, because I know you have a lot of exciting things to tell people about downtown, can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, most folks know the name Dave Alexander from 34 years of working at Muskegon Chronicle and final years at MLive. I came to Muskegon in 1981 right out of Central Michigan University and got a degree there in journalism and political science. I was editor of our student newspaper, CM Life, which is a nationally recognized, award-winning college newspaper. It came out three times a week. And so it was sort of a good preparation for coming in to work at the Chronicle. And I've been a reporter, an editor, and generally writing government and business. Started out covering Norton Shores and the southern tier of Muskegon County. Mm-hmm. By 83, I became the county government reporter and our chief political reporter, and I did that through the 80s. Took a two-year hiatus down to Grand Haven, where I was the Chronicle's bureau chief in the Grand Haven Bureau, and worked that market until 1991, and I was asked to come back up to become business editor. And I really continued to write business through the years up until about 2013, and I got in 2008 a new assignment, and that was covering the city of Muskegon, where I got to know you very well.
Yes.
And we forged our relationship in terms of a clerk and a City Hall beat reporter. We then continued on with that until 2012, when the MLive Media Group was created,
right.
And we went to an all-digital first format with the Chronicle. And then in 2000, and let's see, that would be 13 or 14, I became the community engagement specialist, and we did some pretty good work together, you and
yes,
I, and a
yes,
couple of
did.
Events
yes.
Throughout those years. And it was really like the editorial page editor on steroids, because I also did social media management. I also did the...
Which that's a big job for anybody
was,
who doesn't know
yeah,
that. It's
yeah.
a huge job.
It was a quarter of what I did as a professional journalist. The other aspect of that was moderation of the comments, traditional opinion on the editorial page, wrote the editorials, worked with letters of the editor and guest columns and those things. And then probably the one I probably enjoyed the most, which was community outreach and engagement.
Right.
And for me, engagement is like we're doing right here, sitting
yes.
and talking. I'm of the generation, obviously, that didn't grow up with a digital device in my hand. So even as a reporter, I always enjoyed being on the scene, being out there, talking to people, and forging relationships. And it was through 34 years of those that I guess really set me up for where I'm going at now
right.
in terms of Downtown Muskegon Now.
I can honestly say that you are one of the best reporters I have ever worked with. And one thing that always stood out to me is your love for Muskegon, your genuine love of Muskegon, that through everything.
My wife Peg and I came here, I in 81, she in 82. She graduated from Western. And I came here thinking this was a three-year career mm-hmm. in Muskegon.
Mm-hmm.
I had a political science degree. I wanted to be a political reporter. It was Lansing, Washington. That was my next stepping stone.
Sure.
So I fell in love with Muskegon Lake. I have to say that first.
Yes.
I'm a sailor, a kayaker, biker. I mean, I just love that body of water and Lake Michigan it's attached to. it, over the years, became very obvious as Peg got a job at Muskegon Catholic Central, mm-hmm. where she continues to teach. And there's very few people that have 30-plus years in one place for
yes.
a career.
Yes.
And we are dinosaurs. There would not be a lot of that left. we thoroughly enjoyed the relationships that we gained here in the community. And then if it wasn't the natural assets, it was the human assets, and
right.
we fell in love with the people,
right.
and what this, the grittiness of Muskegon. We fell in love with the. There are no airs here. You are what you are, and
yes.
people will tell you what they are and where they're feeling, and that's refreshing. It can be a little aggravating and frustrating from time to time.
Yes, it can, yep.
But I always received a very positive feedback in the reporting that I did. And I was always trying to be transparent.
Mm-hmm.
I was never trying to sugarcoat what was going on in this town.
No. Nope.
But then I wasn't going to diss it either.
Right.
So I just wanted to be transparent of what was going on, because if we knew what our problems were, from a journalistic standpoint, a newspaper standpoint, we can solve them. But if you don't acknowledge issues that need to be dealt with, they're never dealt with. They're swept under the rug, and it just festers and becomes worse. So that's, some of the people I work with now in the chamber and economic development areas probably like to tell a rosier story than I did.
Uh-huh.
They were not always happy with some of the topics that I chose.
Nope.
But those are the ones that I felt that this community needed to address.
Right, right. So you took a big change in your career recently.
It was.
A little bit, because now you are downtown Muskegon now. Is it director? Is that the title?
Executive director.
Executive director.
I started that in January of this year. I graduated before. I retired. I took an early retirement after 34 years and at the age of 56. The Newhouse people who own the Chronicle and MLive were very good to give a early retirement benefit.
Right.
So I was able to take that. But obviously at that age, and if you know me, my energy level, I couldn't stay
you
still.
You are not going to be sitting still. No.
And quite truthfully, I started that process back in October of last year with the Downtown Muskegon Now board and some of their board members. It's a 15-member board. It's an independent agency. We're real lean.
Mm-hmm.
I'm basically a one-man show. We've got Ellen Behrens as a contract employee or a contract worker who does events and marketing and promotion. And I got a three-hour-a-week bookkeeper. So that's it. And what we really do is sit between business and government.
Okay.
I see my role as helping facilitate economic development, promotion, marketing, and events downtown by bringing the parties together.
Right.
So.
Because you have all the connections.
I hope to.
So.
That's why they hired me, I think. Jonathan Seifert had this job. He came out of an economic development congressional liaison background.
Mm-hmm.
And did a marvelous job teeing up a lot of things that
right.
we're going to be talking about today.
Right.
Jonathan got his master's degree in public administration and wanted to go on to really launch his career as a city manager.
Yes.
And he had a very good relationship with your boss, Frank Peterson, in terms of a mentor. And you don't do that from a downtown management position. So Jonathan is now the assistant city manager, doing very well and very happy. In Coopersville.
Right, right. And he did do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And you are continuing that.
Yeah, and so it was a handoff. They wanted somebody who was going to stay here a while. I'm not going anywhere until they kick me out. Number two, they wanted someone with all the things that were going on that could hit the ground running.
Right.
And
But you are very involved, and you know a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know some of the things that might not always be public right away.
And I knew probably twice as much as I ever reported.
Right.
But that's what a good reporter does, because
that's
you need
right.
to know the timing of when to come out with a story, and you need to have the confidence and the goodwill of those who are sources that would tell you what's going on, knowing that you'll come out with it in a complete way when the story's ready to be told. There were times that I got out in front of things that we had to do that probably upset resources and folks, but for the most part, I tried to keep as informed as I could be on all topics and put the puzzles of the pieces together on the table, and when I saw the picture there, we could write about
That's right, that's right. So we had one huge event just happened very recently in downtown Muskegon, something brand new that just arrived officially. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's the cruise ships. And it really started, my association with cruise ships began back in the mid-80s when I was covering Muskegon County. Frank Bednarik was the administrator, and the late Dick Maher was the planning director at the county, and I was the county government reporter. We wrote about the development of Heritage Landing from a Wiener property. It was basically a dump. There's no other way.
Yep.
It's an industrial dump. And that property was then obtained by the county through the administration of Ralph Precious, and the county board chair at the time was John Holman. And then Ray Grennan is county board chair, and Frank Bednarik is county administrator, created what we now know as Heritage Landing.
A beautiful park.
A beautiful park. Mm. A premier destination for festivals and activities and events.
Yes.
In not only Muskegon County, but all of West Michigan and along the lakeshore.
Yes.
There is no better place to watch a concert as the sun is going down, as we knew for so many years with Summer Celebration.
I agree.
And the other events that are down there are just very special for not only our community, but for all of West Michigan.
Right.
So it was built as the spit that goes out there with the big flag and the circle, traffic circle,
yes,
around it. That was built as a cruise ship dock. Okay.
Okay.
They brought the utilities out to be able to service them, sewer, mm-hmm, water, and actually they brought the utilities out so they could put in a restroom out there, which they did. But it was never used as such. The cruise ship industry was not ready for the Great Lakes. And there was fits and starts of it. A couple of ships have come through, but in the last 2 or 3 years, it has really started to get legs. There are smaller ships. The Pearl Seas was in town yesterday. It's 355 feet long,
uh-huh,
five decks up, and 108 staterooms and about 210 passengers with a crew of about 80 or 90. So there's a lot of folks on board that ship,
yes,
as it came in yesterday. And it came in once last year. I believe it was August. I was in town.
Mm-hmm.
But within 24 hours, we turned a stop that was supposed to be in Holland. There was a boat on the dock down in Holland. Mm. They couldn't get there. They've come and brought one to Muskegon within 24 hours at the MART dock. And from there, Cindy Larson, the chamber, the economic development team in this community, sat down and put together a plan to bring in the Pearl Seas and others.
Right.
So the Pearl Seas brought the Pearl Mist in yesterday. There will be 10 stops, so we got 9 to go. It'll be, as we're taping this, there'll be one on Sunday, the 12th of June, but then they'll also come back July 1 and July 4th, and then through July and August. And it is doing a trip from Toronto to Chicago, and then Chicago back to Toronto. So when it comes here, it is either on the 9th stop or on the 2nd stop. So from Chicago, it'll go to Muskegon up to Mackinac Island. So not a bad little group to be in.
No.
Mackinac Island, Muskegon, Chicago. That's a pretty good,
really good
class for us to start to play in this market. There is another ship that could come in and bring 4 other ports of call in yet this year, late in the season, summer season. But to next year, 17, I know after what happened with the first arrival of the Pearl Mist, that the Pearl Seas will be back. They,
mm-hmm,
loved us. It was a instant success and home run.
That's what I heard, yeah.
And the buzz was just outstanding. And then there's 2 or 3 other companies that will look at us. This is a potential in 3 to 5 years,
right,
to be 25 to 50 ports of call of this type through the cruise season in the upper Great Lakes. So,
what is the importance of that to
Muskegon? It brings in 200 customers,
mm-hmm,
200 tourists,
right,
200 visitors, 200 people that would like to spend some money here. They're only in for a day. They sleep overnight between their ports of call. It shows us off. There are people that were on there. There were 90% of those when Cindy Larson from the chamber and I talked to them before they disembarked to explore Muskegon. 90% of them had never been on the Great Lakes before they got on this cruise.
Wow.
There are people that are going to come back to Muskegon. They already told us so. We got to come back and explore this area. So they'll come up what is now going to be called as the West Michigan Pike, up 31 from Gary, Chicago area, and they will be stopping in. We are now on people's map,
yes,
personal map,
yes,
personal bucket list. They came from Maine. They came from Massachusetts, Virginia, Florida, Texas, Colorado, California. So they were not Midwest people. They were from all other parts,
okay,
of the United States.
So we want to get those visitors back, and we want them to go back to their hometown and talk about Muskegon and hopefully convince those people to
Muskegon
come to you, too.
And,
that's right. Watch us go.
So let me just give you an anecdote of my favorite story. I just got done giving a 10-minute briefing on what they could do in Muskegon. Mm-hmm. Cindy Larson and I were answering some questions, some people in their lounge. And a woman came up to me, sort of a little panic on her face. She says, I need to get to a pharmacy. Where's the closest? Well, it's Watkins, and it's across the district, and it's not a real easy one to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I have a 94-year-old mother who needs some items. She's in the cabin, and I need to get out to a pharmacy. And I said, well, meet me downstairs in 15 minutes. I'll take you. So I took her to Walgreens over on Sherman and Henry.
Yep.
And obviously a reporter. Okay, I got 20 minutes with this lady. I get to interview her. Uh-huh. She didn't know she was being interviewed, but she had an interview done. And she was from the Pasadena area of California, born and raised there, have never been into this area before.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty cool when she said that she had been on 38 cruises. And this was the second best welcoming she has ever had on a cruise port of entry.
Oh.
So, of course, what's number one? Her and her husband, who used to own the Budweiser distributorship in that area of L.A. County, went on a cruise in 1968 to China.
Okay.
And it was the first American cruise ship ever to enter a Chinese port. And they just threw a heck of a party for him. Okay, we could
that
not
would be
beat
huge.
That
yeah.
one.
No.
But we were put. I mean, that was her answer,
yep.
And I'm blown away by those kinds of responses.
You know, I heard because our visitors, they went to Holland for like a half a day, and they spent the other half here in Muskegon, and that the chamber over in Holland said that all of our visitors could talk about was the entry that they came in, what they
we
came
had,
into.
We had probably about seven or eight barbershop quartet type folks out singing to them, serenading them.
Yes.
And yeah.
It was a huge hit.
The community came out and said hi in a way that Muskegon does.
That's right. We were excited to see them. We're so excited to see them coming back too. So that's wonderful. So that's one huge thing that has happened.
It's a platform that we mm-hmm. will build off of. It's,
yep.
it's one of the components that will assist our Convention Visitors Bureau in selling our community for visitors and tourism and for showing off our downtown.
That's right. Okay, so we have something else that I've been pretty excited about that happened downtown. And the city of Muskegon brought in several trucks of sand.
The volleyball court.
That's
now
right.
this is ironic, because if anyone that knows me knows that I am a volleyball official, used to be a volleyball coach at Catholic Central, and I go up to about the Division II level of women's college volleyball as an official. Played beach volleyball, not well, just recreationally, mm-hmm. Over the years down at Pierre Marquette, and very good friends with Rick Fixie and Inside Out. So when I get here, they're telling me, oh, they want to put volleyball down there on the court. Okay, if that's what you want to do, we have a huge beach out there. But of anything that we've done, since I've been here in the last 6 months, I have gotten more feedback and more positives, and just buzz was putting the volleyball courts in. It's
right.
on what we call Unit 7. The DMDC, the Downtown Muskegon Development Corporation, it was the group that acquired the Muskegon Mall property in 2001. It brought the old Muskegon Mall down and started to redevelop the 23 acres. There are basically three lots left.
Yeah.
City's working on one. That's the fourth lot,
yep.
down by High Point Flats, the Comerica Bank Tower. But there are three lots left, and one of them is Unit 7. It's across the street from Boar's Belly. It's across the street from Unruly and sits next door to my old office at M Live in the Sidock
mm-hmm.
building.
Yep.
And it is up for sale for $217,000. It's a half acre. If anyone wants it, come on in.
It's there.
I am the staff member of the DMDC and will assist you in
Do they get to keep the sand?
The sand's theirs. I don't think the city's going to pull the sand back up. It will become part of the building process.
Yep.
So we've put sand out there and put volleyball nets up, and other elements will be added to it as the summer goes on.
Right.
It will be a gathering spot. Instead of having an empty lot that we have to mow the weeds out of, we've created at least a positive eye view. It's a good view. It looks good.
Yes.
We've got a snow fence, which isn't the prettiest, but we are filling it up with assigns banners for those who are supporting and those who are around in the businesses mm-hmm. around there. Obviously, the Watch Muskegon signs are up there, and Boar's Bellies and Unruly's, who have provided equipment. So if you want to go down and play, take your driver's license or ID card, drop it at the bar of either of those two establishments. They'll give you a bag with a couple of volleyballs, high-quality volleyballs, and some of the stakes in the lines. Go out. The nets are permanently up. So that's
and now that
how
it's
we're
only
doing.
Been
first
up
come
like
for some.
What, like just a few
2 weeks?
2 weeks,
yeah, right.
Weeks?
It was the week right before Memorial Day.
Okay, and how much have they been used?
They've been used sporadically. Mm-hmm. The North Muskegon junior varsity volleyball team came down, and we're doing practices on Tuesday nights. We'll be using it. Nice. So, yeah, it's just first come, first serve.
Yep.
There are talks within the various offices downtown that we will start having some challenge matches, and if anyone wants to through either the two establishments or Pigeon Hill or Revel, I know is interested in longer days in some of the businesses downtown to put together a league, go for it. It's not
Wonderful.
Something I'm going to do,
no.
But it's something that
I like
is available.
Playing. I'm not good, but I like playing. So that's one. So we have.
But
the
I will tell you. I will tell you that it's my hope, and that we're close to being able to put up a sign that says sale pending on that lot.
Yeah.
So there are two developers, two young developers who are from Muskegon that have been looking at lots downtown and have settled in on Unit 7. They'd like to be under construction this year. I'm sure that won't be before the end of the volleyball season outdoors for beach. So we would hope that there will be a six-story building sitting on that lot sometime in our future.
Six stories.
That's
really
what's on the plans.
So any chance you're going to tell us what
I can't tell you that in the old days no, if I'm ever going to get in trouble in this job, I'm going to tell too much. Okay. No, but there is somebody that's looking at a mixed use, and you know, we've done form-based code downtown.
Yes, we have. Yeah.
In terms of, we know what types of buildings and what types mm-hmm. of uses and what the configurations of them are. And they need to at least be three stories in that location. Mm-hmm. They need to be mixed use in the fact that they need to have commercial on the bottom floor, some office or
residential
mix above it.
Right.
And it can't be over 10 stories.
Yep.
So that's what the form-based code says. So there are the developers are looking at a commercial, a office, and then four a residential above that, market rate apartments.
Oh, yeah, and the city desperately needs some market rate
apartments.
Yeah.
So a little hint here, watch the Terrace Plaza, okay?
Okay.
I'm just going to let that. Just you keep your eye on Terrace Plaza because that will be one of the new developments I think that will be coming along. Just watch what they're going to do. It'll be coming
something
out.
Something new
here
to that building.
There's something new to that building. So, but we have something called the Anchor Initiative, and it was set up before I got here. The Chamber of Commerce's foundation has raised some money to hire Suzanne Velarde to come in and do an assessment of what is called an anchor program.
Okay.
And we're looking for anchors. Those are institutions or employers who want the downtown to thrive. And what we need to have it thrive is to have development and the occupancy of market rate apartments. And so Suzanne and I and Cindy Larson and others are out exploring that, getting the 10 anchors from Muskegon Community College to Baker to ADAC to Alcoa together to Mercy Health to take a look at what we can do to put an incentive package together. It may be $200 for your employee to live downtown in the district in an apartment for a year or 2 years, a month.
Certainly, right.
So, or it may be a company taking a master lease for 3 months or 3 months, 3 years of a set of apartments that they need for their employees or their interns or who are, or for a residence, say, at the hospital. So those things are being explored.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know that we need market rate apartments.
Right.
And the other one to watch out is the Amazon building. That used to be in bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
It is no longer in bankruptcy. There is a prominent Muskegon investor who has purchased that. And that is going to be a real key turning point to market rate apartments downtown.
You are just teasing us.
I can't say it all, man.
Oh.
Just lift a little pant leg here for you.
Uh-huh,
huh? Is that what I'm doing?
But we are really excited because the idea of being able to live downtown is everything is right there. Everything is with walking distance.
24/7 activity is what we need.
Oh.
And there was a MML, Michigan Municipal League,
mm-hmm.
President of their foundation, who came to visit us in May on a Thursday night, and it was a dead. I mean, it can be dead downtown.
It was quiet.
I wrote a column about that on Andy O'Reilly's Positively Muskegon blog. I basically said, she first off raved about our community, loved our downtown, said
she
we are the next Grand Rapids and the next Traverse City
because
we're on water.
Yeah.
You know, watch us go. So, but she said, where are all the people? Mm-hmm. And a couple of the folks that came in on the Pearl Mist said, your locals come down here in the evening. There just isn't a lot of foot traffic. It's just who we are, what we're about right now.
Right.
Our downtown is based upon, the foundation of it is two things. Number one, it's the institutions of culture, history and recreation. Mm-hmm. It's the Muskegon Museum of Art. It's the Hackley Library, Hackley Hume Home. It is L.C. Walker Arena and the two hotels.
Right.
That we got 350 some odd rooms between the Holiday Inn and the Shoreline Inn. What we need then is to get the retail businesses, and we've got a good share of offices, but to get those retail businesses, we need traffic. To get those traffic, we need to have it not just in the evenings or as we did just on a first Friday this last week where we brought the street performers down.
Huge
we had parties
hit.
In the park.
Wow.
We had the Fruitport high school graduation in the L.C. Walker Arena.
Downtown was really
huge.
Happening.
It was on fire.
Uh-huh.
But that happens on occasion. It needs to happen more often.
Yes.
And the intensity of activity. As we do that with residential development, the retail, the specialty retail will come down.
It will come.
Sort of like the folks that we have as our star, the Rieglers over at Cheese Lady, and what's going on in Gary Post's Century Club. We will have more of that arriving.
Yes.
What else do you want to know about?
Well, obviously, you're not going to tell us any secrets. I can say that the building that the city owns, I think we just came out with, there was an RFP that
there
was turned in.
There are two buildings that the city is involved with on the same block. One is High Point Flats, and that's the 8-story Comerica Bank Tower owned by John Rooks and Parkland Development. You are working as a city with the developer to reconstruct that, reconfigure that in a way that is going to hopefully move forward in the next year or so here. But in the meantime, the Ameribank building, which sits next to it, it's on the corner of First and Clay.
Clay. Mm-hmm.
It's about a 5-story building, huge. Gary Post and the Port City Construction Group came together and put a fabulous team and an RFP, request for proposal. Their proposal was accepted as an option on the property by the city commission last month. And the big news there is Larry Hines and the Hines Corporation would be the office users of that. We're going through our due diligence through October, both for Gary and he is working with the bankers, I believe, on it are Shelby State Bank.
Okay.
And the architect is, help me.
Sorry.
Downtown architect, Hooker DeYoung.
Thank you.
When you get older, the first thing that goes are names. Okay. So the Ameribank has a good team together.
Mm-hmm.
Hines Corporation is also doing their due diligence. It would
right.
be a floor of commercial. It would be two floors of office and then two floors of residential above it. The two offices would be the Hines Corporation and about 25 or so people who run his stable of companies, everything from Pacific Floor to Johnson Boiler. And the Michigan Spring here in the Muskegon area. So huge because Larry is such a huge supporter of our community, of downtown, and of both the economic development and philanthropic needs of this community. He was one of the key people together with the Muskegon Angels investor group. So this is just all tying together very, very well. And
he's not just all talk. He's actually putting his money.
Yeah.
Because he does believe in Muskegon so much. Well, I can't believe this,
Have we wasted 30 minutes?
I don't think we wasted. I think I think you got a huge amount of things on your list that we didn't even talk about.
There's probably 10 of them there.
I think you're going to have to come back.
Anytime you want me.
We would love to do that. Thank you so much, Dave, for being
Thanks,
here
Ann.
Today. And until next time.